alive. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you. He's alive. Hallelujah. And Lord, thank you for your grace and mercy that, Lord, he's alive and he's living in us. And oh, we give you all the praise and thanksgiving this morning. And Lord, may you just have your way. And Lord, I do. I ask you, God, give me your words to speak. Lord, give us ears to hear. Give us your power, the anointing of the Holy Ghost, Lord, that this truth go forth in love, Lord, that it would work effectually in our hearts, that we would believe. We thank you, Lord, you've assured us that faith works by love. And Lord, thank you for the evidence. Lord, thank you for the presence of your love this morning. It's rich, it's thick, it's real, it's abundant, it's powerful, it's all drawing. And Lord, thank you, it's forever. And we give you the praise now and forever, and soon it will be face to face. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, praise, praise God. Oh, he's such a perfect God. He just is. And how he lets us know whether what they're singing this morning, what the brothers preached on this morning. And now thank God for this just continuing of his spirit and truth and the word of his grace. It is marvelous. And that's where we're headed today is John chapter 20. He's alive. Praise be to God. John chapter 20. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early when it was yet dark. I want you to notice that, when it was dark. Mary Magdalene. Unto the sepulcher and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulcher. My. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter, the other disciple, whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulcher. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then comes Simon Peter following him and went into the sepulcher and seeth the linen clothes lie and the napkin that was about the head, not lying together the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw, and he believed. And as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre. And sees two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had laid. And they say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus said unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said unto her, Mary. We'll stop right there. Isn't this just glorious? It's so glorious, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And what we have here are those that loved him. Amen. But what's so sweet is we see something very detailed in this. Very, very detailed and precise in something that's being emphasized that we need to pay attention to. We see Jesus and his resurrection. We see this precious little threesome, if you will, that have loved him. But each one arrives at a different time to that sepulcher. Each one comes at a different time. And each one experiences different things. And as we begin today, I want to encourage you. What the Lord shows us here is a little snapshot of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It truly is. There are believers today, and they're here. Praise God. And I pray that we would have a heart like Mary. We want to see him first and not to delay. But there will be some that will hesitate, some that will doubt, some that hear the same message that Jesus gave to all of them, but they respond in different ways. And they were all given, in a sense, different things and different experiences. I want Mary's experience. I don't know about you, but I want that one. I love the one that John and I love the one that Peter had, but I want Mary's. And brothers and sisters, the Apostle Paul tells us we have a resurrection upon us too. Oh yes, we do. There's a resurrection that's about to occur. And Paul speaks of it in Philippians chapter 3. And in verse 10, it's very interesting how he brings this forth. And he says about what prepares us and gets us ready for this particular resurrection that is right there in front of us today that's ready to occur. Just like Jesus told them at that time, I'm going to rise again. It's going to happen. It's the word of God. When Jesus talks and when Jesus tells you about a resurrection, it's going to occur and it's going to happen again. That's a given. The question is, how will you receive it? Will you believe him? Is it the desire? Is it the passion of your heart? Is it the thing that makes you stir and want to go and to arise even in the night to go seek him out alone? Alone and away from even the people of God, those that had been with him the most, those disciples, not a one of them were moved. This woman was moved all alone, all by herself, to run to that sepulcher. Where is my Jesus? He told me he would rise again. And that love drew her. That woman wept. That woman wanted to see him. And as she said, I will take him. Do you have that in your heart today? Has your heart told Jesus, I will take him? Do you see how beautiful this is? Just the same as when that father would bring out the son to be married in the town. Who will have my son to wed? He was there for all of the women. But there would be one that would step forward and say, I will take him. Well, we've got a resurrection upon us now. Paul says in verse 10 of chapter 3 of Philippians, that I may know him. So you'll never be looking for that resurrection without knowing him. That's why these three were quickened in heart. They knew Jesus. They knew him. They touched him. They handled him. They loved him. That I may know him. And here you go. And the power of his resurrection. So you'll never be ready for this resurrection that's coming upon us unless you know the power of it. We're talking about the power of the Holy Ghost. The power that raised Jesus from the dead. The power, praise God, that brought him out of that place where he was made sin for us who knew no sin. And raised him up that third day. That I may know him in that power of his resurrection. And the fellowship of his suffering. Oh yes. Being made conformable unto his death. All for one thing. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead.
That resurrection is upon us. If you've never heard about that resurrection, you're going to hear about it today. And there'll be no doubt about what it is and what it means. That's spoken of one time in the Word of God. You find those words out resurrection one time in the Word of God. It is speaking of a resurrection that is even out from the resurrection. There is a resurrection that's coming right now out from the body of Christ, out from the church. And those that know him in the power of his resurrection that are expecting this, those that are looking and loving his appearing like a Mary, they're going to run alone and they're going to run at night and they're going to see Jesus. And he's going to call her by name. And she's going to look and she's going to, he's going to say, Mary. M-A-R-R-Y. Not everybody's going to see him at the same time. He shows us here in this, just in the beauty of knowing that every believer would know he's risen. You can't be a believer without knowing he's risen and believing that he is risen. If Jesus didn't rise, then he was dead in vain. But he arose. And he went on high. But I thank God that here we have this encouragement, brothers and sisters. And just as Paul says, Paul's not worrying about going to heaven. He already knows and he's already said, I know I'm seated together with him in the heavens in Christ. Paul speaks of that there's nothing that could ever separate me from the love of God. He knows where he's seated. He knows where he's going. But there's a resurrection he wants to be ready for. The first one. He wants to be in that first company. He wants to see Jesus first. Now you think of this woman, Mary Magdalene. I want you to think about her. Do you know she was the last of the three that came to know the Lord as her Savior? The first one was called, that was Peter. The second one that was called was John. But here you got Mary Magdalene. You know how she met the Lord? She had seven demons in her that needed to be cast out. And the Lord cast them out. So there was the order that they came to know the Lord. But isn't it amazing? This is the woman that shows up first. Maybe it really is true. The most that has been forgiven will inherit the most. What you think? You best love mercy. Let me tell you something. You better embrace it with all that's within you. Know what dirty scoundrels we are, but for God. Then you'll begin to really get a love and appreciation for Jesus. Now, she shows up first at that resurrection. And as the Lord has had pointed out many times, notice this, she shows up at night. There's a reason for that. The Word of God tells us that the thief comes in the night. Jesus will come like that. He's going to come when the others are sleeping, as they were probably. Or too fearful, or whatever in the night, she sought him in the night. The husband, as we know the Word of God, and we know in tradition for Jewish weddings, the husband always comes for the wife in the night. And to be ready for this out resurrection that Paul is speaking here of, we must be ready in the night. Notice this. I mean, we're talking about the disciples. They weren't the ones that told her, hey, Mary, we need to get down there. Jesus is going to rise. Uh-uh. They didn't want to go. Matter of fact, when she comes back to tell them, they still don't believe. The other gospel writers tell of that. Matter of fact, you know what they told her? Those were tall tales. Have you ever tried to tell another Christian about the bridal rapture that's coming? Why do you think the Word of God writes this? Why do you think he encourages this? Because this is where we're at. And it doesn't matter how much preaching or how much teaching or how much this has been heard. The question is, do you believe? And are we making the move? And are we going, no matter if it's our most beloved friends, our brethren, our families? I'm going. I don't care what you're thinking. I don't care if you don't believe. I don't care what you become distracted in. I know the word of the Lord. And I know that a resurrection is coming. And I know one brother who loved the Lord, I'll tell you, and his name was the Apostle Paul. And the one thing he said about his life, if by any means, if there was one thing that I would attain to, if there would be one thing that I would be ready for, and that is the prize for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Jesus is going to have his wife. I think it's very interesting. Mary was the one that came first. A precious woman. One that I'm sure they still were probably skeptical of. Oh, she didn't come by Jesus saying, follow me. No, you know, that was the one that was really the odd left out. That she was so messed up. And such an evil spirit, not just upon her, in her. That Christ even had to go cast it out. Well, let me tell you something. She beat the disciple that Jesus loved. And she beat old Peter. And she saw Jesus first. Don't you ever let anybody ever tell you, and I mean this, you knowing how Jesus loves you, that's why you're here today. That's why we're here. We know Jesus loves us. But you're looking and loving his appearing. You believe in this bridal message? Do you believe, praise God, in this out resurrection that Paul speaks of that I want to attain to? Well, I'll tell you what the qualification is. Do you love that appearing? No, I'm going to ask you, do you love that appearing? Well, did you know that the Apostle Paul said, well, to all them also that love his appearing, that you also will receive the same exalted rank of righteousness crown of the Apostle Paul? That I'm going to tell you something. Don't you let anyone, and I'm including you, tell you that he is not able to perform that good work which he's begun in you. Because he's given you this. He's given you it. He's given you the crown. And know it. He's not a respecter of person. And that means in age, in what you've done, in your successes, in your failures, in the weakness of your life. It doesn't matter how you've lived your life. It's how you've loved in your life. And do you love his appearing? I do. I love his appearing so much. That grace of God that is with me. That grace of God that's risen me out time and time and time again. When the enemy wants to get a hold of me with guilt. Wants to get me down with my failure, my unbelief, all of those different things. Let me tell you something. His word does not return void unto him. I'm looking at my brethren. Praise be to God. I might not have seen some of you for a long time. But Jesus sees you. And you know this word. And praise be to God. He has given us his crown. He has given that to us. It's a jointly ruling and reigning crown. Understand this, brothers and sisters. He loves us so. How could it be anything but his that he gives? Everything of his is mine, and everything of mine is his. Now, notice this. Where you always, what you always find in the night. She found an open tomb. And I love that. Do you know that it says, and we're right there in Revelation on the Wednesday night studies. And it's so wonderful when John, as he's taken up there to see what God wants to show him, he hears that trumpet blast. Actually, we know what it is. It's going to be, "Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away." The voice of the archangel. And you know what happens right when that happens? He says, "I saw heaven open." Heaven is open, and heaven is awaiting a wife for the Lamb of God. The very first thing that's shown is that wondrous throne right there. And right in the midst of that throne, praise be to God, right there with him is that wonderful company of believers that are like him. Oh. You know, ones that had to have 7 demons cast out of them. Come on now. I want you to think about this as well too. Those that know the word of God. You come in here, we're going to have Bible study too. It's good. You can't have a sermon without the Bible and a study. Always know that. Where's John and where's Peter going to be? They're going to be on 12 thrones over the 12 tribes. That's their place someday. Absolutely. What about old Mary Magdalene? Isn't he perfect? Think it's any wonder she got there first? You don't know about what I just said? Come. You will. You'll know real soon. Now, just like heaven, heaven's going to receive up his wife. After that, it was so sweet. She goes and witnesses to those others, and she runs and she tells them. But you know what? Those two still really don't believe. They don't. But God's faithful. He quickens hearts, doesn't he? Just like he did ours. Because you know what? Even in our unbelief, he abides faithful. Yes, he does. So then you notice that those two were quickened, right? But it's interesting how the Bible again gets real specific, doesn't it? I mean, it really is specific. And it doesn't list the first one by name, even though we know it's John. He's just the disciple that Jesus loved. Isn't that gorgeous? Praise the Lord. So that disciple that Jesus loved gets there second, truly, but beats the third. First, Mary. Second, John. Third, Peter. Kind of interesting there, isn't it? Again, why else would Jesus point these things out? Why would the Word of God be so specific in this, in the resurrection? I want you to think about this second one, this disciple that Jesus loved, John. Jehovah is gracious. Let me tell you something, God is gracious. Oh, yes, he is. He's always gracious. He's full of grace and truth. And I love that too, because love won. Love beat Peter. It's the truth. You want to run, you want to win, you want to see the things of God, you want to see when the Lord shows you something? It's got to be love. Think about Peter and all that struggle that he had in himself. All of the witnessing of Jesus to him. He still, even at this time, didn't fully receive. After Jesus told him, "Now the devil's going to sift you like wheat, Peter. You're going to deny my name 3 times, Peter. But Peter, my grace is sufficient. My grace does never, it never quits. I love you, son. I sent a precious sister to come minister to you, one that would never leave me." Peter, remember he said, "I'm never going to leave you, Lord. These guys might, but I won't." Peter was huddled up in fear and sadness. Oh, that sister that the 7 demons had to be cast out, man. Well, that's when you get low on the totem pole and she's got to shake you up. So there it was. There it was. And here comes John beating Peter. Well, once again, we have these ones, 3 believers. Here we got a resurrection, and they all get there at different times. Now, I'll tell you, as you start to look at this, you see that Mary Magdalene represents that first company. She represents the bride. John, the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. Jehovah is gracious. And he is. He's going to be gracious to that innumerable multitude. They missed it. They left the first love. John was the one that loved, but he didn't have the first love like Mary did. But there was still love. And isn't that interesting how he says that about the church of Ephesus? You left your first love. It didn't say that you didn't have any love. It just says it wasn't that fervent love. That love that was going to come out in the night. That love that would never leave. And would say, I'll take him. But there came that. And it said it was John that he saw and believed. Peter was still slow. Poor Peter. Right there with him oftentimes. Now come on, let's be honest. Let's don't throw Peter under the bus. But now we got Peter. Peter sweetly, the Lord appointed him to be the apostle to the Jew. If you know your Bibles, isn't that kind of interesting? You have this woman, Mary. Then you have the love, not first love, but the company second. And then here you have the Jewish 144,000 remnant. His ministering is just marvelous. His passion to us is so present. And here in this sweet time and in this euphoria that we have of our risen Savior, he's still ministering in such detail to us. Are you ready? Are you of the company? I'll take him. Now this is wonderful. As we wrap this up, I want you to get this too. Mary Magdalene. You know what her name means? Mary is rebellious. And Magdalene means a tower. A rebellious tower. And it was sweet to be thinking on these things this week. And the Lord kept just stirring my heart and shot me right on over to the Song of Solomon. Three times in the Song of Solomon, the king refers to that Shulamite as a tower. She's the most beautiful thing. You're a tower, you're a tower, you're a tower. And he's just in awe of her. See, Jesus is in awe of his wife. Believe it or not, he's smitten with you. Don't worry about what everybody else thinks about you. Just think about what Jesus thinks about you. And it's just fine. Amen. But then I thought, well, rebellious. And then I got to thinking about that Shulamite. If you talk to the watchmen, if you talk to the daughters of Jerusalem, they'd tell you that's the most rebellious girl we ever know. We've tried to get into her and tell her you can't love that much and you're out of your mind. You're crazy. Well, thanks be to God, I get the privilege to preach to a lot of crazies. We're rampant with rebellious towers in here. I pray. Oh, yes. And it's okay. As the Shulamite said, you can say that about me. You can beat me up. You can abuse me and not go with me. But there's going to come a time when they're going to say, oh, return, 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 oh, Shulamite. But she's not going to be able to. I'll take him. Took her home. You know, that could be this morning. As I say, I got some picture in there, precious brother painted. Kind of like a mist sitting over the congregation in here. But all the pews are empty. I don't know if a pastor's ever prayed for empty pews, but this one does. I pray when Jesus come, there wouldn't be one life still left here. And I assure you, I pray that way for your pastor's life and for you. Now, we're so thankful to God, brothers and sisters, that he does. He keeps witnessing to us over and over. And God, help us today, really help us. Don't just sit here today and hear this. Just like the disciples when Mary tells them. But yet they sat there and they said, you're just telling us tales. You're just telling us things that we're never going to believe. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Believe it now. I'm going to tell you, you better run now. We need to be ready now. We need to be running to that tomb right now. By the grace of God, Lord, let me be first right now. And I thank the Lord. I thank him. I prayed. I said, Jesus, you give what you want. I always want that to happen. But Lord, may it be truly an Easter message we never forget. And I believe by the power of his might, he's done just that. In Jesus' name, I do for all of our lives here today. This is the truth. Take it. Take it. He's called you to this. You're just like that precious woman. That grace has touched your heart. And all he wants is thanksgiving from you. He don't want anything else but just for your heart to say, I'll take him. Amen? Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, we give you all the thanksgiving today for your precious son, Jesus. In his name we come to you, Father, and you so loved you gave him. Even when we were dead in our trespasses and sin, he loved us. He saw us, he knew us. The love that was set before him, the desire, the joy. Oh, Jesus, you endured that cross. And Lord, we thank you this day that truly he is risen. He did arise. You did ascend. Thank you for the power of your might that you did send. Thank you, Lord, that you're on the right hand of the Father this morning. Lord, the throne room is pleased because your word has been preached. And your grace has touched hearts to believe in thanksgiving. How simple, Lord, it is. There's no other way to please you but by faith. We thank you for this tremendous grace and mercy that you have caused us to love and to receive. We thank you, Lord, that it's your finished work that we look to today and give you all the thanks. We adore you, Jesus, that it was you that took all of our sin, all of it. That you took the law and the ordinances that were against us and you nailed them to the cross. That, Lord, you have placed us by faith now in a realm of grace alone. And where there is no law, there is no sin. And Lord, I thank you. You have graced us with your message. Your message of truth and love. And Lord, may we never veer from this. May we never be 1 degree off this course. May we never turn to a little leaven that leavens the lump. Lord, thank you. Thank you. And thank you. Till we see your blessed face. In Jesus' name, amen.